With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
We come to you live from the Rockin' Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. They understand it's not just a mortgage, it's your mortgage. That's the difference. Rockin' Mortgage. Push button, get mortgage. Thanks so much for being with us. Happy Friday to you. It's also a Target Demo Friday, which means you can simply let us know where you're at, how you're listening, and what you're doing as you listen. And I'll read through those coming up here at the end of the show, about an hour and 45 minutes from now. Hit me up on Twitter with your Target Demo Friday info, where you're at, how you're listening, what you're doing. I'll read through those coming up here in approximately an hour and 45 minutes from now. On Twitter, that's DA on CBS. And on Facebook, it's facebook.com/TheDAShow. Coming up this hour, why are Pro Bowlers playing dodgeball? We'll discuss coming up in 20 minutes. Also, Mike Renner's going to join us from the Senior Bowl. He is Pro Football Focus's lead NFL draft analyst. We'll talk to him about what's flashing at the Senior Bowl, who's flashing, and the rumors of the Dolphins wanting to get aggressive to move up and perhaps draft Joe Burrow number one overall. Today is the day that Eli Manning will announce his retirement, hold a press conference. And I talked about Eli's legacy yesterday. And just to reset, I think that there's such a discrepancy between local appreciation for Eli and national. I think in New York, even Jets fans who would normally hate the Giants, even in New York, there are Cowboys fans or Steelers fans or Patriots fans. I think everybody in New York, no matter who you root for, is inclined to give Eli a lot of credit. And I think that's because it's easy to see what he did. I think if you're national and you're zoomed out, it's easy to focus on what he did not do. But I always think, you know, let's say Eli Manning's not a Hall of Famer. To punch holes in his resume, this is a real weird thing we do in sports. Because he's a borderline Hall of Famer, it's about, if he's not, in your mind, aggressively taking down everything that he did. Where, let's say he was a step below that, and we're not talking about the Hall of Fame, you would focus more on what he did do. Look, what he did was extraordinarily durable, never missed games due to injury, ever. Handled with aplomb and class every busted draft pick by Jerry Reese, every terrible signing by the front office, every awful coach they hired, every carousel next clown up offensive coordinator. And he never criticized any of it. And you could never tell whether he was frustrated or not. That was an amazing accomplishment. Because it wasn't like the Giants organization was nailing everything. Let's face it. Now, they certainly surrounded him with winning pieces. 07, 11, what have you. But the last 7 years of his career has been a never-ending circus of terrible draft picks, awful free agent signings, bad coaches, and new coordinators. Also, it's easy if you are in New York and a Jets fan to say, two Super Bowls? I don't care what else happened. I'll take that. You had one quarterback for 15 years and he won two Super Bowls? That's more than I could ever dream of if you're a Jets fan. So it's easy to appreciate what Eli was. Now, it's the national pundits that look at him against Tom Brady or Drew Brees or Peyton Manning and say, well, he's not that. Which, you know, frankly, is kind of a stupid way to look at anybody's career. What is he not? What is she not? What is he? What is she? What is you? What is you at all?
You are a machine of death.
And what Eli was durable, dependable, professional, and for two glorious postseason runs, unflappable. Now, he had bad playoff losses as well. He had lost in his first playoff game four other times, one of which being the one seed lost in the first playoff game that they played against the Eagles. Granted, that was the Plaxico Burress year where everything kind of changed once Plaxico shot himself in the leg. But he had a bad loss to the Panthers, had a bad loss in the postseason to the Panthers, one closed down MetLife Stadium or Giant Stadium before MetLife, one was in the postseason, two against the Eagles. He's had some bad ones. The boat game a couple of years ago in Green Bay, there's some bad ones. But in the eight playoff games that he won, yes, they happened in two playoff runs. But he was nearly perfect. And he was nearly perfect on the road or in a neutral site and or against a future Hall of Famer or perennial Pro Bowler. He outdueled great quarterbacks. In 07, went on the road to Tampa Bay, threw for two touchdowns. Granted, they only had Jeff Garcia, but that was on the road against a division winner. Next week, took out a 13-3 Cowboys team, threw for two touchdowns, where Tony Romo threw for one, and the game-killing interception at the end of the game. NFC Championship game, threw for more yards than Brett Favre in the freezing cold on the road at Lambeau and beat him in overtime when Favre made the mistake and threw the interception in OT. And in the Super Bowl, threw for two touchdowns to Tom Brady's one on 14 fewer passes against what was at the time considered and still one of the greatest offenses ever, the 07 Patriots. In 2011, wild card round at home against the Falcons. Threw for three touchdowns. Matt Ryan threw for none. Divisional round beat a 15-1 Packers team with Aaron Rodgers in an MVP season and defending Super Bowl champions. Went there, threw for three touchdowns at Lambeau. At Candlestick in the NFC Championship game, threw for 316 yards and two touchdowns in a game in which he was knocked down, splattered, or sacked by that ferocious Niners defense every single play. And then in the Super Bowl, threw for more yards on fewer passes and had no turnovers against Tom Brady, who once again threw a bad interception. And remember, Tom Brady took a safety to open up the game with an intentional grounding in the end zone. Okay. So Eli had some bad playoff losses, and Eli had some non-playoff seasons. But Eli's, what he did, to me, is more important than what he didn't do. Those games against those quarterbacks and those teams, that's what matters. I mean, okay, if he didn't have those moments, yeah, you could pick apart his resume much more. But he had those moments. So focusing on that he wasn't Tom Brady, or he wasn't Drew Brees, or he didn't go to the playoffs every year, that just seems totally misguided to me. Today, he's going to announce his retirement, and I really think that Tom Brady, his aggressive competitiveness, I think comparing Eli to those types of guys, Philip Rivers is barking on the sideline all the time. I think Eli's hunky-dory, nothing affects me, Eli phase, whoa? That thing, I think, really affected him negatively in a lot of people's eyes. He didn't look like he was killing himself to win all the time. And I think that, again, going back to the Andy Reid quote from last hour, that bothers people. I think you're supposed to, in our American sports psyche, be Tom Brady. Kill yourself to win at all costs all the time. Scream, get in fight to the sideline with your coordinator. If you don't like the play call, winner, 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 winner. Excoriate, you know, your offensive linemen or your wide receivers to do better, to do more, to demand more of yourself. Fire. I think we demand that. It was what Michael Jordan showed. And then when LeBron showed less of it, LeBron wasn't Michael. Kobe showed it. Kobe, bloodthirsty assassin. People love that. Eli wasn't that. And so I think that people didn't want to believe that he had great moments. And so when you boil things down, as I've always said, to two throws, two lucky throws, if you ever hear anybody say, Eli, his career is two lucky throws, I mean, it is such a blind spot. It is just totally ignoring so much of his career. Two lucky throws. I mean, he won five true road playoff games without those two lucky throws. He won five true road playoff games and then had two lucky throws. Great defense, great pass rush. Yes, that comes with it. But come on. Mraz, I know you're a big Eli fan, and so you're kind of a Giants honk anyway here, but I do wonder from an unbiased standpoint why people tend to just forget his playoff runs. Is it just because all we ever remember are Super Bowls, and so we remember those two throws, but we don't remember everything that happened before those two throws?
Yes, I think that's for sure, and I think people like to pick apart because the Patriots' offense struggled in both of those games and harp on the defense that he gets buried because of that. But also let it be noted, I think two things hurt Eli in his career and the way he looks publicly. I think in many ways, the fact that the second Super Bowl win happened against the Patriots, while that adds to his resume of slaying the dragon twice, I think makes people blend those 2 years together.
That's a good point.
And I think a lot of people don't understand that the 2011 Giants weren't the 2007 Giants. And what I mean by that is, Eli Manning is the only quarterback in NFL history to win a Super Bowl with the league worst rushing attack. They were 32nd in the league in rushing offense in 2011. Now, you tell me where a quarterback is getting help out of that. Second of all, the only quarterback to win a Super Bowl where his team won 9 games in the regular season. Nine of those 9 wins, 6 of them happened where Eli Manning was the last one to touch the ball and led a comeback because their defense let it up. They are a team that's potentially 5-11 in 2011, if not for Eli Manning and his heroics throughout that entire season. But a lot of people don't remember watching those games because they remember watching the playoff runs. Eli Manning's offensive line in 2011 was not the 2007 offensive line. It was below average. Look no further than that 49er NFC Championship game where he's picking grass out of his helmet because nobody could keep him upright in that game. He made Mario Manningham and, to a lesser extent, Victor Cruz household names throughout that run. Hakeem Nicks, Victor Cruz, Mario Manningham, they going anywhere near a Super Bowl? Those guys were great under him, but how much of that was Eli Manning making those guys as well? He gets absolutely no credit for 2011 because people blended together like it was the same thing as 07. It was not. 2011 was Eli Manning put a team on his back and carrying them home. That defense had to sign Chase Blackburn back, who was a teacher in an Akron high school, to start at middle linebacker by week 12. And they were 6-6. Eli Manning down 2 touchdowns versus the Cowboys, need a win, or they would be eliminated with 4 weeks left. Led him on 2 scoring drives with 5 minutes left to win the game. 2011 is unbelievably just one of the more remarkable quarterback runs of all time, but because they played the Patriots, everybody thinks it's the dominating defense of 2007. And also, I will say, and nobody will point this out, I actually think Eli's last name being Manning hurts him publicly because he was always compared to his brother. And because of the fact that I think a lot of people get sick of the Manning family, so to speak, that if Eli's last name was Eli Ryan, like Matt Ryan or something like that, and he had done what he had done on those 2 Super Bowls, I think history would look on him a little more kindly. I think he's almost punished because he's Peyton's little brother.
I think all of that is very fair. I think really good points. Let's go over Eli Manning's weapons, okay, skill position receivers, okay, in 07 and 2011. His starting wide receivers in 07 are Plaxico
Burress,
okay,
and Amani Toomer.
And Toomer.
With a
Toomer at the very end of his career.
Very end of his career, and a rookie by the name of Steve Smith, who went on to be a Pro Bowler for 2 years later on as their slot guy. With David Tyree as their fourth guy, special teams
blew out his Achilles, I think, and then never really played.
Well, he had microfracture surgery, signed with the Eagles, was never the same.
Tight end?
Was Kevin Boss because Shockey got hurt.
Okay, so he wins a Super Bowl.
And Brandon Jacobs and a rookie by the name of Ahmad Bradshaw is running backs.
Well, let's talk about the targets, though. Okay. He has Plaxico Burress, Amani Toomer at the end of his career, Steve Smith, and Kevin Boss.
Right. And Plaxico hurt all year. Remember, he didn't practice all week, all year that year.
2011?
2011 was Hakeem Nicks, Victor Cruz, Mario Manningham, Jake Ballard, Travis Beckham was the other tight end.
I mean, think about the careers that these guys had after Eli Manning, after the Giants. None of them did anything. Plax, Toomer, Steve Smith, Kevin Boss, Hakeem Nicks, Victor Cruz, Mario Manningham, Mike Ballard?
Jake Ballard.
Jake Ballard.
Who actually tore his ACL in the Super Bowl.
That's right. None of them did anything. Now, some of that was injury. Steve Smith injury, Victor Cruz injury, Ballard injury.
Hakeem Nicks injuries caught up with him, too.
Hakeem Nicks, foot injuries, Plaxico shooting himself in the leg. But that is just, their high points were all with Eli those two postseasons. That's not Hall of Famers that he was with.
Right, and people want to punish him for losing in 08 as the one seed when his number one wide receiver was Dominic Hickson. I mean, it's not exactly like Eli was rolling out there with Rice and Owens and J.J. Stokes.
And the other thing, well, I don't know if J.J. Stokes
should be
there. That
was a joke, but yes.
The 08 Giants run also, the way that it ended, really hurts Eli. That was arguably the best Giants team Eli was ever on. That team went 12-4, I believe.
12-4, yes. Beat out Carolina late on a Sunday night for the one seed.
Correct. They were the one seed in 08. Guys on that 08 Giants team will tell you that was the best Giants team of the run, better than 07. They were the one seed, had home field advantage, and then Plaxico shot himself. The Eagles came in, a divisional opponent. They knew him so well, and Kevin Gilbride, looking for a head coaching job that offseason as the offensive coordinator, decided to throw it a million times on a windy, miserable day at Giant Stadium. Had he just run the football, handed off, they would have won an ugly game and would have went to the NFC Championship game against the wild card Cardinals that year. It would have been the Kurt Warner, Larry Fitzgerald game at MetLife or at Giant Stadium. I have a hard time believing Arizona, dome team, comes to New York and wins the NFC Championship game. They had won that game at home against the wild card Eagles to go to that Super Bowl against the Steelers.
You're absolutely right.
Had Kevin Gilbride just eaten his pride that day, or Plaxico not shot himself, the Giants are probably in back-to-back Super Bowls. Maybe they lose to that Steelers team in 08, but they're in back-to-back, and Eli probably goes to three Super Bowls.
And the Pittsburgh Steelers won the Super Bowl that year. That year in Week 7, with Plaxico suspended for the first half of the game, Eli Manning and the Giants went into Pittsburgh and beat the eventual Super Bowl champions, the Steelers, that year.
Imagine how different life is had the Giants won three Super Bowls, including back-to-back with Eli Manning.
Outdueling Ben Roethlisberger, who everybody wants to call great for that one year as well in that game.
And he was great. I mean,
He was
great, and he was great in the Super Bowl with
I'm not trying to rain on Ben Roethlisberger's parade, but when everybody wants to throw all these quarterbacks out there and how much more dominant they were than Eli Manning, when Eli played them all at their peak, and he was at his peak, and I know they're not facing the same defenses, Eli Manning beat them all these great quarterbacks he gets compared to.
When we come back here on the show, why are we playing dodgeball at the Pro Bowl? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Yeah, you like that, big boy?
Good morning. Enjoy your show immensely. I mean that sincerely, DA. I don't know what age bracket you're in, your 50s, maybe early 50s.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Not quite.
Oh, okay.
24 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Our toll-free line, sponsored by GEICO. Whether you own or rent, GEICO makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work. Just ask Mraz. Get a quote at GEICO.com. That's easy. So, it's a Target Demo Friday. Hit us up on Twitter or on Facebook of what you're doing as you listen to the show, where you're at, and how you're listening. And I'll read through those coming up here in about an hour and 20 minutes or so from now. Also, PGP is available right now. We go inside Mraz's strike. He crossed the picket line. So go to our podcast feed and check out the permission granted podcast inside the one day strike of Mraz. I realize this is an old man take, and I try to guard against old man takes because I don't want to become the old man on the porch. I don't want to shout at the sky, although I realize I sometimes do this. Of course, being in my mid-50s, according to our listener.
Okay, how long have you been on the air, D.A.?
But I got to ask, why are we playing dodgeball at the Pro Bowl? I mean, I know the Pro Bowl's silly now. I know that it's become rendered basically a Nickelodeon episode. We're doing, what, obstacle courses and dart throwing. But at least we're not doing Team Jerry Rice and Team Michael Irvin. That was the low point ever for the Pro Bowl. But, you know, we just had Max Starks on the show earlier this week. Max Starks won two Super Bowls with the Steelers, and he was hearkening back to a simpler time where the Pro Bowl was in Honolulu the week after the Super Bowl, and if you were Super Bowl champs, you got to go there and soak in the adoration. You got to soak it in. Hey, we're Super Bowl champs, and we're partying because we're the champs. We're around all of our peers, and you guys kiss the ring. We're the champs. And now, since the Pro Bowl is the week before the Super Bowl, there is no champs crowned, and none of the champs go, none of the teams playing in the Super Bowl go, and we're playing dodgeball. Now, can somebody help me out here? We've got dodgeball last night. We've got the gridiron gauntlet. It's like a quarterback challenge as well. We've got best hands thread the needle. What is going on now?
Precision passing as well. And this made me angry this morning. This is the NFL.com write-up about precision passing.
Okay.
In windy conditions, Kirk Cousins and Russell Wilson bounced back from their divisional round defeats to fire darts. No, that's not what they did.
No,
Definitely not.
Feel better today because they won the precision passing.
Yeah.
So it's like a quarterback skills competition, but then they play dodgeball at the end?
Yes, but I want to just, because I read about this and I didn't take the time to watch it like I did last year. Did we do the dunk tank contest like we did last year where we were trying to dunk Urlacher and Jason Witten?
Right, that
Remember?
Was a thing.
I think that was precision passing. You were throwing footballs at the dunk button, and if whoever was the first one to dunk these guys won or something.
So the AFC took home the title 7-4. So is it a skills competition? What are they calling this? Is this the access to happiness, or what did
I
see?
It's the Pro Bowl skills competition.
Access to awesome, I believe, is their tagline for the whole week.
Oh, okay. So that wasn't like an event at the Pro Bowl.
No.
This was the skills challenge. So this is supposed to be the dunk contest, three-point contest of the football world.
Right. But I am fairly certain they tape it at about 2 in the afternoon and then air it at night.
That is correct.
On Thursday.
So this is supposed to be their answer to the home run derby,
yes.
Is dodgeball?
Right. And did any of us know what was going on?
Well, also, think about, okay, you might not think the home run derby is that cool anymore, but the dunk contest, the three-point contest, and the home run derby are far superior to a dodgeball competition.
Oh, completely. But again, what is the...
They're doing things that they do on a basketball floor or in a home run or in a baseball stadium. Dodgeball has nothing to do with whether or not they're good football players.
I will defend the NFL in this. Other than having quarterbacks throw through tires, or maybe a fastest sprint, but we see that at the combine every year anyway. What are they going to do? Are they going to have them line up to do the Oklahoma drill, and whoever wins that wins?
Well, maybe they don't have anything. Maybe they just have the Pro Bowl.
Right. Now, again, I will defend the NFL in this. All four of us here can admit, this is so ridiculously stupid. Why would anybody pay to watch Kirk Cousins try to peg Jarvis Landry with a dodgeball?
Do you have to pay to go to this?
I'm assuming. It's probably at that Wide World of Disney thing or whatever, sports world, and I'm sure you have to pay tickets to go to it.
This is stupid!
My cousins that are 11 years old are really into it.
Okay, so this is my next question.
Right.
Is this cool for kids? Like, Bogues, are your kids into dodgeball with Jarvis Landry?
I mean, they would probably watch dodgeball for a second. They wouldn't care that who was in it at all. I mean, they've got no NFL knowledge, period, of a Giant or a Jet or anybody. They know nothing. So they're not going to be sitting there going, oh, there's Lamar Jackson being cool. but they might for a second be intrigued by dodgeball by itself.
Okay, so your cousins who are 11 years old, they're football fans, they'd be into this.
Right, I think if you get to the point, because you got to remember, Bo's kid is still a little young. You really start watching football and you're not running out to play with your friends. That 10, 11-year-old mark, and I think for the kids that are like 10 and 11 to like, let's even say 17 years old, before you really get in the house, and you're into football, you're into playing Madden, you're aware of who the stars are, and you run and play dodgeball with your friends, that is cool, that is relatable for them. Ooh, I know Russell Wilson from Madden. I know Russell Wilson from watching Sunday. I could watch him play dodgeball like I play with Timmy at recreation. I think that's who they're targeting, and it's their way of trying to get that young generation to stay with watching football to harbor it. It's not for me and you. That's certainly true.
Okay.
I'm watching precision passing, which I can't really say. I'm watching it right now. I'm slightly intrigued by it.
Okay.
There's Kirk Cousins is throwing now, and there's a
bunch of... Well, he rebounded after a tough divisional loss.
Correct. And you could see the sadness in his face disappear as he was hitting these targets. So he's standing there throwing at spinning targets.
Hi, Lee Ho, neighborinos.
Ones are farther away, sliding across. There's big, like, trampoline-shaped ones down the field that if you got to throw the ball through, then you get a point total. The point total goes up based on difficulty. I'm okay with.
Okay.
I missed the blue chalk on the nose of the football, the old school way, but this is all right.
Andrew Bogish is in with the headlines. Good morning, Andrew.
Let me turn my video player off first and then read you your headlines, which are sponsored by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. LeBron James is almost number
three
all-time in NBA scoring, now 17 points behind Kobe Bryant after 27 in last night's 128-113 win in Brooklyn.
To be linked with the greats, that means a lot to me because I grew up and idolizing Michael, and idolizing Kobe, idolizing these guys. Gaining inspiration from their craft, gaining inspiration from their stories.
LeBron likely to pass Kobe tomorrow night in Philly, where Kobe is from. Damian Lillard scored 47 in last night's 133-125 home loss to the Mavericks. He thought he should have had more because refs missed a foul on a late drive to the hoop. Those refs told Lillard he leaned into the contact. That's why they didn't blow the whistle. He does not agree.
If you say I didn't see it, that's one, then whatever. You know, they say that all the time. But you can't tell me I'm doing a reverse layup. I don't have time to lean back and try to get fouled while I'm looking at the rim making a reverse layup when a guy's smacking me in the head. Like, don't insult me like that.
Lillard, don't insult me like that.
Don't call me the Matrix, man.
Lillard, not yet an All-Star.
Not Keanu Reeves.
He'll have to wait until reserves are announced next Thursday. LeBron, Anthony Davis, Luka Doncic, James Harden, Kawhi Leonard voted starters from the West. From the East, it's Joel Embiid, Pascal Siakam, Kemba Walker, Trae Young, and...
Antetokounmpo.
No.
Is his actual name.
No,
it isn't.
No. How have I never heard that?
Antetokounmpo. Is his actual name.
That's my favorite part.
Oh, my goodness.
He's stamping it as like, that's how you say it.
Oh, my goodness.
And it's not.
Can I hear this one more time? This is the most amazing pronunciation of Giannis ever.
Antetokounmpo is his actual name.
Stress on the umpo.
Is his actual name. He goes by a Lou, but his actual last name.
Antetokounmpo. This is his actual name.
Three.
By the way, Bogish is just slaying everybody for their mispronunciations of Giannis today.
I can't decide who we're going to go with last.
That's three for three. I like that you're collecting these.
Oh, I have.
You're a bone collector.
One, two, three. Yeah, I have a bunch in different versions. I got a former president. I got a former host on this network. I've got one of a self-proclaimed NBA expert in this building mispronouncing it.
Oh, dear. Yeah. Don't tell me that, Shep.
No, it's not Shep.
Oh.
I got this one. This is an ode to a previous version of the network at this time slot. Our good friend Mikey B, Mike Biseglia, who now
we
is producing for Zach Gelb. Here's Mikey B trying to do it.
Giannis Antetokounmpo.
That's a good one.
Is it?
Sing-songy.
Where were we? Okay, LeBron and Giannis, they are all-star captains, so they get to pick their teams next month in Chicago. Laker head coach Frank Vogel will coach LeBron's crew. Last summer at the U.S. Open, Serena Williams ran Wang Chung off the court in Just About Better For You. That they fit the song that time?
Everybody Wang Chung.
Wang Chung.
See, that was perfect.
All right.
Perfect.
That one lasted just 44 minutes. Today in Australia, Serena loses in three sets.
I just made far too many errors to be a professional athlete today.
56 unforced errors, to be exact.
She's actually never met Kirk Cousins. Oh, don't worry. You can make a lot of mistakes as a professional athlete. We've seen plenty of them.
She's gotten a lot of heat for the way she's handled herself after matches because she can get a little...
She's testy.
Well, and she can be a little bit dismissive of her opponent sometimes.
Right.
But it comes from a place where she just can't ever approve of her own play. So today she was trying to be nice, and then she went, let's face it, I didn't play well today. Like, it's like, to take nothing away from her, I sucked, and that's why I lost.
To take nothing away from my opponent, namely Wang Chung, I made so many mistakes, I don't deserve to be a professional athlete.
Yeah.
I didn't play as a professional. I might as well have played like an amateur. Not to take anything away from my opponent here, but I played like I was still in JV.
The upsets continued with 15-year-old Coco Gauff knocking off last year's champ Naomi Osaka. On the men's side, Novak Djokovic has moved on. Roger Federer is still playing. Not to blow Sean's mind, but it's already past midnight. It's now technically Saturday at the Australian Open. Federer still on court, deep in a fifth set with John Millman. Antonio Brown has a bond hearing basically as we speak in Hollywood, Florida. He spent the night in jail after finally turning himself into police last night. Brown facing felony burglary with battery charges, plus other ones stemming from Tuesday's alleged altercation with a moving truck driver outside his home. Lost in the backlash of that Kansas K-State fight was Illinois' Alan Griffin stepping on the chest of a Purdue player on Tuesday night. Sasha Stevanovic is fine. Griffin gets a two-game ban from the Big Ten.
Big Ten basketball. Catch it. It's more like football than ever before.
Catch it with your chest. Luis, don't call me Alou Rojas is officially the Mets' second new manager of the offseason. A press conference at 3 Eastern today, 4 hours after the New York media fawns over the retiring Eli Manning. And I've tried to bait Sean into this about six times this week, and he's just not. Is he ignoring me?
He's ignoring you and fighting with Bomani Jones on Twitter.
That's why. It's bigger fish to fry.
No. I just I'm more curious. So it's a 16-hour time difference.
So you you had the humany goat as the stunt to a news, but really the stunt to a news from Erazaday is him trying to do the math in his head of where the Australian Open is.
Yes.
And the time difference.
Is it the same time zone as Japan where we play the baseball games at 5 a.m. Eastern?
I don't know if it's the exact, but it's the it's the same
premise.
You're
in the area.
Yes.
So it's after midnight. I guess my point would be, why don't we all just move to Australia? Then you get to the weekend a lot faster.
Right.
Do you want to explain that one to him?
Well, so now I'm going to have to discuss time zones,
time
travel.
Relativity. Like every
context.
Like, no matter where you are, the weekend is still, the week is still 5 days long. Yeah.
But you get there fast.
You don't.
Yeah. But you would have to actually go from here to Australia, and that time that you would take to get there.
You lose a day?
Because
I was once in O'Hare, and I saw a flight to Shanghai. It said 22 hours. How many peanuts are you getting on that? Is that like the same kind of deal? Would be a 22-hour kind of flight?
Probably. I mean, you know, you're going to the same part of the world. So.
And is Sydney the only airport there?
Well, Australia is a very large country, so they have multiple cities and multiple airports.
But I'm talking about, like let's say LAX, because I'm assuming West Coast to there. Could you only fly to Sydney, or can you get the multiple airports?
You could definitely fly to Melbourne,
because
too.
If there's, like, a storm in Sydney, are you screwed? Because then you're waiting on a 22-hour flight, and then you got a delay.
My guess is LAX goes to Sydney, Brisbane, Melbourne, number of different cities.
Yeah. Now, one thing I can't understand, I know we have to get to Mike Renner here.
Yeah.
Why is it when I go to Hawaii?
Oh, boy.
I am 6 hours back in time. But Hawaii is closer to Australia than we are here in New York. But Australia now would be 18 hours ahead of Hawaii, but it's like right next to Hawaii.
Well, I would encourage you to look at a map or a globe, because it's definitely not right next to Australia.
I understand that, but like,
there's a pretty huge ocean in between the two of them.
But you could get there rather quickly, all things considered.
Well, I'm really going to blow your mind, but think about where your time zones start and end. What do you think happens if you kept going east all the way around?
All right, I don't want to go down and like screw myself here.
Sure.
But my point would be, somehow when you leave, let's say you have a flight from Australia to Oahu. When you leave there, somehow the day flips and you're like 30 hours ahead?
Yeah, there's I forget which way it goes, but when you...
It's called an international dateline.
When you...
Isn't that crazy? And what if you're on a boat and you go through the international dateline, then what happens?
You can fly...
What date? What? Let's say it's Christmas Eve. You celebrate Christmas Day or Christmas Eve?
You can fly, I think, from that part of the world back to here, and when you land, it was before you took off. There. It's like time. It is time travel.
Time doesn't make sense.
Mike Renner's going to join us from the Senior Bowl to pick up this conversation. Pro Football Focus
is missing in Mobile.
Lead draft analyst. So how many airports can you fly into from Mobile into Australia with Mike Renner next? DA CBS Sports Radio.
It's the show about the show. Here's the best of this week's Permission Granted podcast.
Now for one day, he wants to hand me out
but
back.
But I'm sure he's covered for you before now.
That's what I'm telling you. What is he covered for me doing?
He's never, ever, ever picked up some slack for you?
Anytime I have been off, Pete has gone above and beyond to train a new person on the DA show for 3 weeks to cover one day of my job to make sure he doesn't have to do anything I do.
Download the PGP today on iTunes and play.it or listen at daoncbs.com and the show's Facebook page, Zap Zap.
Check out the PGP, the Permission Granted podcast. It's our show about the show each and every week right here on CBS Sports Radio's podcast feeds. Now, our toll-free line, sponsored by Geico. Whether you own or rent, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Having a home is hard work. Get a quote, geico.com. That's easy. And also, it's an Ask the Pros Day, where you get to pick a question, any question, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simply tweet at me, at DA on CBS, and submit your question. I'll answer it later on in the show, next hour. Think O'Reilly for all of your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Our next guest is Pro Football Focus's lead draft analyst. He is down to the Senior Bowl in Mobile, Alabama. Joining us, Mike Renner, this morning on the show. Mike, good morning.
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for having me.
My pleasure, Mike. Thanks so much for joining us. Let me first ask you about these rumors about Joe Burrow and the Bengals potentially trading out of number one if the Dolphins really got aggressive. What do you think? Would it be worth trading perhaps three first-rounders by the Dolphins to move up to try to get Burrow? Is he that next level?
I mean, there is a price. I mean, there always should be a price. You'd be crazy to say there is no price that you'd give up for a guy like Joe Burrow. But I do think that with the way this quarterback class is, with the way the Bengals are, and how good Joe Burrow was this past season, it's going to be a hefty price. Like, it would have to be a lot of picks, and so I'm not sure those three first rounders would be worth it for me if I'm just saying Bengals.
Do you consider drafting Tua in the top 15 or so of this draft a huge risk?
Yes, and I think it'll be less risky though by the time we get to the draft. Right now it's more just pure speculation because of the nature of that injury, and once you get to, you know, the medical evals within, you know, a handful of weeks of the draft, you'll feel much more secure about basically where he's going to be. If he's completely clean and has had no medical issues with that hip since leading right up to, you know, late April, right into the draft, I think he does go top 15. I don't think it's that big of a risk then medically.
Mike Renner joins us, Pro Football Focus's lead draft analyst. What player are you most interested, excited to see this week in Mobile?
Well, I think I was most interested to see the quarterback last year. And basically, Jordan Love, Justin Herbert, are they different here? Or is there reason to believe that they're better here than what they showed on tape? Because what they showed on tape was just a lot of inconsistency, a lot of bad, basically, and especially Jordan Love. I thought he could have had a chance to really raise his draft stock if he came in and looked accurate and consistent with his footwork. And I don't think really either of them proved anything otherwise. I think Herbert probably had the best week of any quarterback here. Really was consistent and accurate. But his question marks and why we're probably not as high on him as maybe the NFL is going to be is the fact that he's not been a gamer throughout his career. The things it takes to win football games, the reading of defenses, the being able to play efficient football has not been him. And so as good as he looked against Aaron, as strong as his arm is, that's not really going to change the fact that there was some ugly on his tape.
Why do NFL executives versus the analytics guys look at Herbert so differently?
I think it's about projectable tools. And people think that if you have a strong arm, if you have if you have arm strength and accuracy, we can teach you how to read a defense. We can, you know, teach you how to do this other stuff that's very important to the quarterback position. But what we say here with the analytics is the fact that he's been playing quarterback for a long time. Like, he's been taught these things, and if the coaching hasn't stuck yet, I don't think that's necessarily going to change in the NFL. And so a lot of NFL scouts, they believe in projecting, they believe in their coaching ability, they believe in the ability to fix things. The analytics community is more bullish on that, in terms of they think that guys should be good already. It's the guys who are good who then will be good at the next level.
How special is Alabama wide receiver Jerry Jeudy's footwork?
Oh, man. It's unlike anything I've ever seen. The way he moves, even watching him compared to other elite receivers in this draft class, and it's still just on another level in terms of the way he can get off the line of scrimmage, get in and out of his route breaks, and just his legs look like they're made of a different material than pretty much anyone else's, the way he can just bend and get out and explode out of his cuts. So, yeah, the dude is I don't think you can draft him too highly.
Mike Renner joins us, lead draft analyst for Pro Football Focus. He did a cool profile on every FBS player at the Senior Bowl. It's worth checking out. That's on the top of his Twitter page, @PFF_Mike. You've had two lives, draft analyst and bachelorette contestant, from 6 years ago. What is the weirdest thing about being on the bachelorette?
I think the weirdest thing was literally just being there and in a house with 20 plus other guys and being filmed. I mean, like, the actual experience of it was the weirdest thing. It was, as much as like they say it's reality TV, it was probably the most, uncomfortable and nervous I've been in my entire life being there. Just like, it was not reality whatsoever.
Were the other guys decent to deal with? Were they all in on the bit, in on the joke, or were they really like hyper aggressive and competitive?
There were a few guys that were, and those are the guys I kind of kept in touch with. Most guys were, I don't want to say they're acting, but they were all in, on the experience and the fame that they could see at the end of the tunnel there. So it was just a very interesting experience with the people that they kind of select for a certain individual to go on that show.
More ridiculous, hot sports takes or bachelorette contestants?
Probably the bachelorette contestants. and because hot sports takes have been run, they've been beat into the turf at this point. That's pretty much the run-of-the-mill. Your sports content right nowadays is hot sports takes. I think the bachelorette contestants is a very different type of individual for the most part.
That's fair. Mike Renner joining us this morning here on the show. Follow him on Twitter @PFF_Mike, because he has done a profile of every FBS player at the Senior Bowl, which is really cool. If you're a draft Nick, you're interested in guys getting drafted by your NFL team, check it out. It's at the top of his Twitter profile, @PFF_Mike. He's at the Senior Bowl this weekend. Good stuff, Mike. Appreciate it, man. Thank you.
For sure. Thanks for having me.
You got it. Mike Renner joining us from Pro Football Focus. I have to imagine that experience being on The Bachelorette has got to be one of the wildest experiences anybody could ever have, because they're leading you to certain storylines. They're filming you and editing you a certain way. Everybody there is looking to get famous. Really, nobody's there really, truly looking for their soulmate, I wouldn't believe. Everybody there is, that's a nice byproduct, but you're looking to get famous. And so just imagine an ant farm full of fame whores with bizarre editing and crazy storylines and manipulation. That is far from a reality, I would say. It's a sub-reality, alternate reality. When we come back on the show, could Tom Brady actually play for the Las Vegas Raiders? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.